You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
That stadium is going to be rocking, and heaven help whoever walks in there to play us.
Sustained effort and violence, you play your ass off.
You're watching the Pirate Preview on the Sports Objective. Join us every Tuesday night on YouTube Live as we're joined by beat writers and other media members as we take a look at what lies ahead for the Pirates. Now, here are the guys.
Here it is, a first down. Pirates.
Welcome into the Pirate Preview right here on the Sports Objective. And ladies and gentlemen, we're all Team Kyle. Kyle Barber, how are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? As we sit here on a Tuesday night looking ahead to the college football week ahead and the Navy midshipmen come to town, and it's normally a bad day for the Pirates when the midshipmen come rolling their ship into Greenville and put down anchors, but according to the boys in Vegas, that's going to change this year, and the Pirates will get their first ever victory over the Middies. As the last look, we were a 17-point favorite. We'll see what happens. I think the Pirates get it done, but I'm not putting my money on that 17-point line.
And we also have with us Matt Semenza. Matt, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? Navy week. You know, this is a game where, you know, anytime I hear the team name Navy, I have flashbacks to some of those beatdowns in Greenville from 10 years ago. But I'll tell you guys, I just once in my lifetime, I would love for us to embarrass Navy in Greenville. So, you know, no disrespect to the Navy, love the Navy, love the midshipmen, but on Saturday, I'm hoping for an absolute beatdown.
And by the way, and coming up later, we'll have we actually have clips of interview Bubba did with Pete Medhurst, the play-by-play voice, who we thank the world of. So let me just say that he's a great guy. But my goodness, you're right, guys. The games have been, and I tell you another thing, I can't stand is not that I don't like the song, but when you're getting your tail kicked by Navy and you're anchors away, oh my God! Like I'm going. Really? And so hopefully hopefully we can get a big win. I do think we're going to win the game. The question is how much, but no disrespect to Navy. I just don't think there is the type of Navy that we grew up with.
Well, maybe they are the type of Navy we grew up with instead of the type of Navy that's been in recent years.
Well, maybe.
What do you guys think about us doing a whiteout for this game? I mean, I'm going to be very disappointed if we don't come out in all white uniforms with red, white, with white helmets with a red, white, and blue Pirate logo on the side of the helmet. If we're doing a whiteout just to wear regular old white uniforms with purple helmets, I'm going to be aggravated.
Well, I love it. I love it. And what's easier than a whiteout? Everybody has a white shirt.
Not me. I got a white undershirt, but my fat ass ain't wearing a white undershirt to the game.
Let me tell you
a rule for fat boys, Matt. This is just a good rule for fat boys. Don't wear white. That's just no. White chose the roles, baby. So
I forgot. I get that memo before the show.
I literally if you look in my if you look at my wardrobe, I probably own, and it's not getting into button-up shirts, polos, I probably own 50 t-shirts. Of my 50 t-shirts, every one of them are either black, purple, and I think I maybe have two gray. Everything else is black or purple.
All right, well, I'm going to overnight you a white shirt.
I won't wear it, so don't waste your time.
So you're not going by, you're going to be the...
I got a light gray ECU hoodie, and it's going to probably be cool enough to put on a hoodie by halftime that I'll bring with me, and that'll be close enough to white.
All right, yeah. Well, I'm glad that we're more worried about the by the way, speaking of uniforms, I really, really, really want where we do one game a year. We talked about this before. But Adidas, let's do a throwback jerseys one time a year. Once.
Well, when are we going to do the special student design? That's been like,
yeah.
Has that been forgotten about? I mean,
it's going to be unveiled Sunday night or sometime Sunday on social media.
Okay, so it's going to be worn for the Memphis game, apparently.
Perhaps we shall see, and I don't know if they'll just unveil the uniform on Sunday or if they'll go ahead and release that other information as far as when we're going to wear it as well. But
is Memphis homecoming?
It'd be interesting to see.
Yes,
Miles okay, Berry. Miles Berry, in different interviews, has hinted around at the possibility of wearing a gold helmet this year. And he's also there's also been some hints out there as far as the possibility of maybe a throwback uniform like Dave is saying. So who knows if Will's design kind of incorporated some of those throwback elements, be it the 91 uniform or something else.
If we want to do a gold helmet, then why in the world didn't we save that for save the gold out? For one, we would have a gold helmet. I mean that's going to get on my nerves if the uniform is got a gold helmet and we did the stupid gold out for the Campbell game. I mean
the purple out.
Yeah, well the purple out should be any game, but
I know. I'm just
I've been wanting a gold helmet, but what Bubba to me, and I mentioned this to you before, as we got here on uniform discussion. I can picture our current logo on a yellow gold helmet with a purple chrome face mask, and I think it would look so awesome.
Yeah, I can see that. Guys, what about the pirate from way back in? Was that the 70s, Pat Dye era?
We had two, but yeah, both of them were from the 70s.
I would love to see.
We did that for the Tulsa game. Mike Houston's first year, we did that on the helmet.
Wow, I don't remember that. Okay,
we did for the Tulsa game, and
I like stuff like that.
Played horrible
season finale, like Kyle's saying against Tulsa.
Okay, 2019. Okay, yeah.
We wore purple jerseys, black pants, and then that helmet.
Yep, which looked gray in the pictures beforehand, but it was a black helmet. If I remember right, or was it a purple helmet?
I think it was
just
a black
helmet. I'll put it up for our viewers, but I'm sure many folks certainly recall the helmet we're referring to.
It was a cool.
Kyle, did you get that mini helmet?
I did.
When I say mini helmet, I do mean mini helmet.
Yes, I thought it was like a standard mini helmet, like you buy like this a desktop size mini helmet. Like I don't know,
yeah,
maybe like if I'm going to use a diecast comparison. To scale, maybe it would be considered like a 124 scale, but it when I got it in the mail after paying like 20 some bucks for it, it was like as big as my thumb. I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, guys, whatever uniforms we do this weekend, a whiteout, whatever it is, you know, taking a look at this Navy team. I got to say, I'm not overly impressed this year with what I've seen so far. They've scored 7 points in their opener against Delaware. They scored 13 against Memphis. Now, I know, just like we've talked about before the show, the Navy, for what, yeah, the fourth consecutive time against us guys, has a bye week leading into the game. So that presents some challenges right there.
Yeah, Coach used to talk about that. And I'll tell you what, I said this in the green room. Right before our show, we have a pre-show meeting. I really feel like that if it's done once or twice, then you can go, okay, that's – but when it's done a lot, you have to question that. I think that's the reason why Coach Houston put it out there is to call out the – normally he doesn't. He's one of those guys that plays by the rules and all, but he's like saying, hey, why does Navy every single year have a bye week before – East Carolina. So, and I do think that's fair. And he was talking about 3 out of the last 4 years, they've had that under the Houston era. And Kyle, you said on our friend Steve and Igo and Hoist the Colors that they mentioned.
Yeah, somebody posted it. It wasn't Igo. It was a It was just, it's happened even more than that, even more than 3 or 4 years. It's just since the series began way back in 06, it's happened even more often. If you want to count 06, that was the first game of the year. So technically, they had a bye week before they played us in. But it is a weird thing that they seem to always have an extra week of preparation to prepare for the Pirates. And, this year they might actually need it. I fear that they, may put in some new wrinkles. You've seen that Navy team get so much better. I remember in 2020 how bad they looked the season opener against BYU, and then they got better as the season went on. But we're 17-point favorites, guys. How confident are each one of you that we'll cover that spread? Matt, start with you.
Well, I'll say this. I'm very confident we're going to win the game and take care of business because I think we have better talent. I think we have much better depth, especially on the defensive line, Kyle, where we can rotate bodies and wear people down. But I'm confident we're going to win. I could see 14 points. If the line, let's just say the line was 13, I think I would roll with the Pirates. But 17, that's a little bit much for me considering – only because I know the history of the series. If I didn't know the history and I just looked at what Navy's done this year, I'd say, okay, 17 looks like a great bet. But knowing what they've done in Greenville, there's no way I could take it.
Yeah, exactly. That, Kyle, Matt stole my thunder there, but that very thing is that I feel like we're winning the game. I'm confident on winning the game. I'm not confident on covering. I am not with 17 points, but I hope that I'm wrong. But I feel like it's going to be, I wouldn't say a Daffer field goal to win it last season, but I feel like this year, Matt, you hit the nail on the head there with the depth. I think what's impressed me the most with Houston has been not only the depth, but the recruiting, man. It's just every single year better and better and better and better. And I'm just tickled with how everything's coming together. We talked about year four would be a championship. I called that. And until I'm wrong, I'll admit if I'm wrong, but I really feel like we have a shot at winning the American. I really do. But we got to get things done starting on Saturday. And Kyle, you're right. I mean, 2020, they had the false positive where it was ridiculous. Holt Naylor should have been allowed to play. Last year, we win the game. And, guys, wouldn't it be nice to win in Greenville finally? I mean, it's been ridiculous how we can never beat them, and especially we'd never beat them in Greenville. So, and the fact that this will be – if we win, that would be two in a row against Navy, which we've never done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really need to flip the script on Navy and win two in a row. And I just hope that that the old faithful portion of our fan base understands what's at stake here. But I hope that the younger fans who maybe don't have the history show up, and I hope that they're loud and fired up for this game because we're going to need a strong performance from our fans this weekend.
Bubba, do you think we'll cover, Bubba?
I'm like Matt. Could we cover? Sure. But if I had to bet on it, I think I would lean toward Navy plus the 17 just based on the history. I do think with the way this Navy offense has looked, but they're coming off the open date. And like you said, I mean, like they hadn't been this, impotent, last season, but at the same time, last year they hadn't exactly set the world on fire offensively, and then they put up over 350 yards rushing against us and 35 points. So I don't think that they'll have that type of success, but I do think that we'll have our work cut out to cover the spread. But who cares about that as long as we win the game? I do think it'll be much like the Campbell game, like it was last year up at Navy, that they'll struggle to stop us. Holton was 27 out of 32 for a little over 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. We did not turn the ball over last year, neither did Navy. And that's the big thing that, that could really get us in this game. I know you can say, well, hey, you can say that about any game, and true, but it's even more true in this game because you're going to have limited possessions.
Yeah.
And on average, in our games against Navy, you have 8 to 10 possessions as opposed to, you know, 12, 13, 14 possessions. So anywhere from like 3 to 5 possessions fewer than you would have in most games. So when we do have those red zone opportunities, it's important that we, you know, cash in and get touchdowns. And we've done a fairly good job of that this year. So that needs to continue on Saturday.
Yeah, guys, I think on offense for us, you mentioned red zone opportunities, Bubba. To me, Navy's defense, I haven't looked at their stats. They were respectable on defense, against Memphis, even though they lost to Delaware. I think they only gave up 14 points. So I don't know how bad their defense is. But last year, we hit them with a lot of big plays. We've shown the ability to do that this year. So that's going to be key to me. Can we hit the big plays again this week? And can we cover? I haven't answered that. I think we can cover. Based on history, I wouldn't bet on us covering. But I'll say it before and I'll say it again. If we get the victory and we hold them to 3 touchdowns, I'd say give the defense a standing ovation. If they've got, 24 points or less, Navy that is, and the Pirates win, give the defense a standing ovation at the end of that game.
Hey, Matt, what will you do if all those bad scores that we saw over the years with Brian Mitchell's defense and all that way back, what will you do if what if we had some kind of crazy game where we score 70 on them?
Oh, my God. That would be a dream come true. If that happens,
won't happen.
I know it won't happen. I was just
Mike Houston wouldn't do that.
If that happens, I'll go out and buy 10 white shirts just for Kyle and overnight.
Please buy another color because I won't wear them. But
Kyle, going back to what you were saying as far as the Navy defense, as far as rushing, they've only allowed 52 yards a game, something like that. But passing defense, they've allowed 300 yards a game, but they have produced 9 sacks, and they're very much, like you've heard Holton say it, he said it last year, as well as other people on offense. Coach Houston said it, as far as them running a defense, it's very similar to ours. And you saw how efficient Holton was, 27 out of 32 for 405, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So I really like our chances to go up and down the field on these guys. We just have to take care of the football and then, you know, punch it in when we get in the red zone and then find a way to get enough stops. And I know I could see, you know, 34-20, something like that.
Yeah, you make a good point that I had forgotten. Our defense coordinator, their defense coordinator, come from the same coaching tree. They both came from Valdosta State, both former defense
coordinators.
Kennesaw State. I knew it was a school in Georgia. Kennesaw State. They both. Blake Harrell followed him when he left for Navy. Blake Harrell became the DC at Kennesaw, and. So they run basically the same defense. So while the Pirates should be able to hopefully run up down the field on them, that might also benefit the Navy offense because they see this defense every day in practice. So keep that in mind. I it's going to be an interesting ball game, man. I really, from a just knowing the history of the series, I don't look at this line and take it too seriously. I would hope our players wouldn't either. They know that this defense, the majority of this defense played against them last year and just pop in some film from some other games in the past. And that ought to get anybody's attention who's not fully focused, but quite honestly, opening conference game, the last 2 weeks, you know, no disrespect to Old Dominion. They're not a bad football team, but since the NC State game, this is our biggest opponent. So, we should be locked in and ready to go.
And that defensive coordinator that Kyle is referencing is Brian Newberry, and we have comments from Coach Newberry on our YouTube channel, so go check those out.
Yeah.
No, guys, you know, you were just talking about the spread. I'm thinking more of something like 31-21, something like that. So maybe a 31-17. So you would have to be like a 31-14 kind of game, and I don't know. That's for me. 17 points. I don't know. That's, I'm just trying to get in my head, wrap that around my head about the 17 point spread.
We could do it. If particularly, here's how we could do it. If we're able to move the ball on them as easily this year as we were last year, and we go up and every time we touch the every position we get, basically we score. And you know, if we can get, let's say each team gets, you know, what would you say, Bubba? 9 possessions, 10 possessions against
Navy? 8 to 10. It's like 8 to 10, right, Bubba? Yeah.
So let's say each team gets 9 possessions. If we score out 8 out of 9 possessions and they only score out of, you know, 5 or 6 possessions, there you go. So, I mean, it can be done.
That was the crazy thing last year's game. It was a tale of two halves. And that first half last year, that may have, in fact, happened where – you know, I think the Pirates scored on 4 possessions, 3 touchdowns and a field goal, and then Navy scored on all 3 of its possessions, or 3 out of 4, because it was 24-21 at halftime, and nobody had stopped anybody.
Yeah. There was something early in that game where Navy had a miscue on special teams where we – I can't remember what.
Yeah, I know what you're – I don't recall exactly either, but I remember what you're referencing.
We could have really put some distance between us and them early. That if we get that opportunity this year, we better take advantage of it.
We also had the time. Sorry, Matt. Just very quickly, what I was about to chime in with was in the second half. I think it was we had the I want to say first and goal situation where we got stuffed and didn't get any points.
Yeah, and last year we gave up some. That's something, and that's something needs to be bring up now. And Matt, I'll shut up and you can talk. Not only last year, but even more so in years past, we give up explosion plays to Navy. No explosion plays. Make them earn it. In a way, it's killing yourself slowly sometimes if they get it in the end zone, because then they've driven it all the way down the field. They did what they wanted to the 8 o'clock, and they got it in the end zone. But make them earn it. Hold them to field goals. You know, if they get on those long drives, do not give up the big play, but. You can't let those long drives end in touchdowns. You got to hold them to field goal attempts if you can't get them off the field to make them punt.
Yeah, and like we talked about the other day, guys, what they're going to try to do, well, what they do against everybody is they try to lull you to sleep with the ground game, right? They want your safeties to cheat up, and then they want to go play action over the top. And they're going to try that at least 2 or 3 times a game. And we can't give that up this year. We can't give up the, you know, the deep ball on that, because they're only going to attempt probably 7 or 8 passes in the entire game. But, you know, looking back to last year, guys, I think the biggest difference between this year's team and last year, I think we are far superior at wide receiver. No disrespect to Amoda Show. I mean, he was a good receiver, but I feel like with the addition of Winstead. Audi Amoda Show from last year.
Oh, Audi Amatosha. Okay.
Right. Amatosha. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a tough name. That's a tough name for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like we're far superior at receiver this year with the additions of Winstead, Johnson, and now with CJ in the slot, we have a major size advantage. So I honestly would test them on the outside. If they're going to play man coverage, I'm going to take my shot at a ton of fades.
I agree with that. I also could see the tight ends having big days against the middies this week.
Hey, guys, I was getting ready to say with we played 3 games. I think for this game, and maybe you guys say I'm stating the obvious, but I think they've saved a lot of plays and maybe some – we haven't really seen – have we – off the top of my head, I don't remember any trick plays so far in the season, have we?
We tried, am I out of my mind, or did we try to run a reverse against Campbell last week that didn't work? Yeah, we tried a reverse to with with what's his name? The damn receiver, the little receiver that
Hatfield.
Yeah, Hatfield. We tried to reverse with Hatfield that just was not done well at all. But that's the only trick play. What we got to do, one thing that we have not done well at all, is, in my opinion, is get the ball in the hands of Jones, our tight end.
Ryan Jones.
Yeah, Ryan Jones. Arguably the best athlete on the team. We got to get the ball in his hands more.
Yeah, he's the one. And, guys, last week we had – this is one stat that says a lot about Mike Houston. And we've given Donnie K, I know at times, a hard time with the play calling. But last week we had not one, not two, but we had 10 different people catch the ball. And so for me, that instead of having just C.J. Johnson catch the ball or Snead catch the ball or a few years ago Prohl catch the ball, we've got multiple weapons. I think when you have a home run hitter like Keaton Mitchell, Rajay Harris, and you know one of my favorites, Kyle, you're the running back guy on the show. I'm a huge fan of Marlon Gunn Jr. Oh, my goodness. Like, that guy is extremely special. And to think about the future is bright is an understatement in the running back room. Don't you think, guys?
Yeah, I do. And speaking of this, I'll make a prediction this week. It's good to say they've been against the run. I'm going to go ahead and say this is going to be Harris's best game so far this year. I just got a feeling his physical running style, and if we give him a chance to get lathered up a little bit, as I like to say, he's a guy that needs to get lathered up. And I know Keaton's the primary back as well as he should be, but I can see Harris, his running style inside being very effective against Navy.
Guys, how about Keaton Mitchell having 189 yards? Everybody can say it's Campbell, but my goodness.
Well, the bigger thing was 14 points per carry. Good God. Yeah. Or 14 yards per carry.
Yeah. I'll tell you, to your point, though, Dave, I mean, when he sees daylight, he hits the hole, and my God, I mean, he gets north, as they say, and I just love the way he hits the hole. When he sees an opening, there's no dancing. It's just pure explosion through the hole, and he's gone. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. I was just going to add to that. Doesn't it look like, guys, he's shot out of a cannon? I mean, what is this? Is he maybe Bubba knows? But doesn't he? He's got to have like a 4.3 40. What is his time on a 40? My God, it has to be something like that.
Yeah, he's fast.
I would think it's at least 4.3. Honestly, he plays. There are some guys that run 4.3 on a track, but it doesn't show on a football field.
Right.
He looks like a 4.3 guy on a football field.
Yeah, and I tell you one thing that I think with now. One of the things, guys, I was going to mention too this year that I'm really happy about is you always hear our fans, and rightfully so, we don't have a running game. We don't have a running game. We don't have a running game. You need it. You need a running game. We have the running game now. And I think that before we were so one-dimensional, just so pass happy, I guess because we were getting behind so much and we didn't have a choice.
But, yeah, going back to the Montgomery days?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going back there even beyond. I mean, really – We haven't had a running game in a good number of years.
Well, we did last year.
I know, but I'm saying before that, you'd have to go back to what, 2014?
2020. Crush. We've really had a running game pretty much every year that
I know, but
I've used the vineyard since 19.
I understand that. 19. I understand that, but I'm just saying that each year it's getting better and better.
Absolutely. Yeah, this year is our best running game. I mean, since Cooper was here.
Well, you know, what I like about this team is we really – like, I know Mike Houston always talks about balance in the offense. He's striving for balance. So we've been pretty balanced so far. We've done a good job mixing it up, keeping people off balance with you know, the pass and the run. So but I think a big part of it is we've just been wearing people down in the second half and taking over.
Yeah, guys, one point I want to mention that I want to throw to you guys is a good team finds what you're good at and they use that against you. I just have a feeling with the dominance we've had with the time of possession that's so important to Navy. How great would it be to have those long, sustainable drives that Navy does on you normally? We do that to them, and you have guys like Mitchell and Harris that could just light it up and maybe even throw in a give some guns some more touches this week.
I hear what you're saying, but I think we're going to hit a lot of explosion plays. I really don't care how we score as long as we score.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we score, no doubt about it. We can't turn the ball over. That's the one thing we can't do. We cannot turn the ball over. And I'll say this, guys, not to change topic, but if we win the toss, I want the ball. I want to try to get a lead in this game and make Navy play from behind. But turnovers are absolutely killer against them because you have limited possessions, to your point, Kyle, limited possessions to begin with. And then if you turn the ball over, you know, now you're just putting yourself behind the eight ball.
That was always Logan's philosophy when we played Army. He always wanted the ball first. You know, normally he would take – like most coaches, defer to the second half. But he, whenever we would play Army, if we won the toss, he would take the ball first. I can see either strategy because, you know, there's something to be said also about getting coming out of the locker room and maybe you're in a position to put them away. So I, you know, either way, whatever coach prefers, we win the toss. There's also something to be said, Matt. If that defense could come out and force them to a punt on that first drive to establish things, you know, there's something to be said for that too.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you can go out, if you're confident in your defense to get a stop, then you flip the field early. And to your point, you get the ball in the second half. So I don't know. My personal philosophy though is against an option style team, I want the ball. I want to try to make them play from behind and take them out of their, you know, their normal game.
Score first and then kick an onside kick and go ahead and get it and try to go up by two touchdowns before the
just get it done.
There you go. I mean, really, if we were able to, maybe that's what Vegas sees in the 17 points, is that we have a really good first half where, you know, I said it the other night on the playback, we've got to get used to being the hunted. We've been the hunters.
Yeah.
And a team like Navy, I think they're hunting us this year. I think we have the pressure of being the hunted, and we'll see how we can handle that. And hey, if we do have a little bit of adversity, this team, Houston's team I like is how we fight back.
Yeah, there's two things to point out about you talking about the hunter thing. About the top 25 vote, I figured out, and I think a lot of people did, who voted for us to be in the top 25.
Who was it?
Navy's SID tweeted out Sunday that how we had received a vote in the top 25 and how we, you know, had we beat NC State, we would be in the top 25. The list of coaches that voted in the top 25 was listed on Hoist the Colors. Kenny Amatalolo is voting this year. And if you guys may not realize this, most coaches actually do not vote in the top 25. They let their SID do it. So I think there's your answer. Navy's SID is who gave us that one vote in the top 25.
And that, hey, that's fantastic. I mean, the fact that if we keep winning like a lot of our fan base thinks we can on a roll here for the next handful of weeks, we'll take it one at a time. But I see ourselves really in the month of October. I don't know when it'll be. We'll be in the top 25 unless, obviously,
if we keep winning, I mean, it that's a big if. Yeah, you're talking about beating a Tulane team
who
just beat Kansas State, who, you know, maybe undefeated. I have to look at their schedule before we play. I know they play Southern Miss this weekend, but they may be undefeated when we play them. You got UCF and Memphis coming up in October. So if we were to take care of business in all those games, potentially going into the BYU game, we could be ranked in the top 25. It's a big if. I mean, you take care of business against Navy first. And something else, back to the top 25 thing from some of our fans that were like, oh, you know, rat poison or, oh, you, anytime the pipe. Well, what do you want us to do? Just suck forever and never get any votes in the top 25? I mean, that's what happens when you're winning. You start getting votes in the top 25, and Well, you know, God forbid we get in the top 25. I mean, I don't understand that logic. Oh, we don't need, what do you want us to do? Suck? I mean, it's the logic to me there is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, for the fact we haven't been in the top 25 since November 2014.
Yeah.
So something around there with that Temple game, but it's been a long time. But the good news is, I actually think
we were still ranked after that Temple game. I think it wasn't until the Cincinnati game,
okay,
that we fell out.
All right. Well, the fact is, it's been way too long, and definitely looking forward to being in the top 25. And but when it's all said and done, what we want is a conference championship. That's something that we've been wanting for a long, long time, and we haven't had it since we've been in the American since 2014. So it'll be a great day. Hey, by the way, guys, a different kind of football. And I mentioned to this, myself and Alan Vick, our good friend, we had a chance to go over to Greenville today and talk to the ECU women's soccer coach, Gary Higgins. I wanted to throw that out, and we'll have that for you guys. What a great guy. And I just want to give them a shout out for him inviting us over and doing that. He's a great guy, and good luck to the ladies coming up on Thursday night.
Can we call him, if you remember Magnum P.I., Higgins off Magnum P.I., and the what was the black guy's name on Magnum P.I.? I can't think of his name.
Oh, he's passed away.
Yeah, T.C. T.C. used to always call Higgins Higgy Baby. So as long as the women's soccer program is continuing to win, I will refer to Coach Higgins, unless he objects. It's Higgy Baby.
And by the way, guess what college he just came from?
Lenore Ryan.
Yep, and I mentioned that in the interview about him and Coach Houston coming from the same school. I know that he went to Citadel and James Madison before coming, but
yeah,
that Lenore Ryan connection. But anyway, getting back to not soccer, American football with the Pirates, I was really, really pleased with the game. I feel like I wanted to ask, Matt, Bubba, and Kyle, do you guys feel like I've heard Pirates say over the last few years they don't feel like the team has a killer instinct. Are you starting to see now with the way we handle Campbell and ODU, and maybe with the way we stood up to NC State, that we're starting to have a killer instinct?
It looks like it's developing. And you know, what I like is that we're finishing teams on the ground.
Right.
And I think that's a good sign when you can just line up. And it sounds really cliche, but I've been on the opposite end of these. When you're losing a game and somebody's running the ball down your throat, it's the worst feeling in the world. So it's really not a cliche. It's the truth. And I like how we're just, you know, late in the game in the fourth quarter, we're just more physical, and we're just pounding people on the ground. That's fun to see.
No doubt. Especially guys with one of the teams that, you know, we were talking about the other night, USF, those guys, we've got those that'll be next week's game. Do you guys seeing? I know we got to get through Navy, but do you guys see any potential there where they can beat us? I mean, I just feel like that we have a good shot against them too.
No, we're unstoppable. They can't possibly beat us. Yeah, of course they could beat us. I mean, you know, they took the Gators down through the wire. You know, I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see how good South Florida is. I'm still, you know, they look like crap against BYU. Then they played an FCS. Then they looked pretty good against Florida. Matt said you watched a lot of the game and you thought that was more Florida than it was USF. They played Louisville this week. We'll be favored on the road unless, you know, we all of a sudden look like crap against Navy this week. We should be favored on the road against the Bulls next week. But, yeah, sure, they could beat us. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of those teams. I just don't know what to make of them yet, honestly. And I do think they played a little bit above their heads last week, you know, against an in-state team. I think they played up. So I don't know what to make of them yet, but I just think we're still at the position, to answer your question, Dave. I think we're still at the position where if we don't come ready to play, anybody can beat us. I really believe that. But I think we're good enough. On the flip side, we're good enough now where if we do come ready to play, we can overcome some mistakes that we couldn't 2 years ago. Like, we might be able to overcome a turnover or you know, some sort of a mistake in special teams that we couldn't 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this Mike Houston team is that the fight in this team that I love, even though they have adversity, it's not like before we're like, okay, here we go. We're getting ready to, you know, here's where we lost the game. And another thing, guys, I want to mention too that I was thinking about in the Campbell game. Do you guys, it seems like in the past, even with Houston, early Houston era, if you will, first or second year, our guys seem to lose focus. Was it the second quarter? It was one of those quarters. It was like, oh my God, if we could just fast forward through there. And it seems like now we're starting to see that instead of like the bright spots, if you will, for this team and program, if you will, now there's more focus throughout the game. They're putting a complete game where before it was like a quarter here, some plays there. You could start to see greatness, but now they're really being well focused, well disciplined, unlike years past.
There's experience, depth, and culture. I mean, you saw some of that against ODU where we lost focus, particularly in the secondary. But overall, I'm with you. We tend to play all four quarters. We get better as the game goes along. We certainly are more talented and got more depth than Navy. You're not going to be any better conditioned than Navy. So, you know, I don't know that we'll wear them down by the fourth quarter in terms of conditioning. But we are certainly got more depth and more talent. And, no, I think this team has certainly showed a lot of focus this year that we have goals and aspirations bigger than just getting up to a bowl game. And if the goal is to win a conference championship, then this is the biggest game of the year to date. This is even bigger than the NC State game.
Right.
If that's truly the goal to win a conference championship, this is the beginning of conference play. So go start off with the conference 1-0. I mean, and you know, our fate is in our hands starting this week as far as conference championship goes. You go 1-0 each week in conference, you know, come the end of the year, you finish first or second in the league, and you're playing for the conference championship, which in this league gives you an opportunity most likely to go to a New Year's Six Bowl, which is something you don't even want to start thinking about at this point because it's a long way off. But the midshipmen are the first up for our chance to make it to a conference championship.
And hey, Bubba, I was going to point out to you, I want to pitch it to you real fast with the fact I need to check with Coleman Spain. I'll call him tomorrow. I'm trying to find out how many tickets have been sold, but we need to get people there. I mean, my gosh, this is Navy. And guys, look at all these night games. I'm in love with the fact of these times, these 6 o'clock games. I know some people probably don't like them. I love them. More chances to tailgate. The students have been coming out in big numbers. And by the way, I need to give a shout out to the crowd. The crowd has been so loud. And by the way, guys, we're averaging over 43,000 per game for the first three games. I would see that in the ODU. I obviously saw, you know, that we were going to have a sellout for the NC State game. But the Campbell game last week, I did not see that we would have that many people. You know, you're always hopeful. But I think it was 43,034 people or something like that, just a shade over 43,000. So my hat's off to the crowd, not only the size of the crowd, but also how they're into the game. And man, it is really loud. It reminds me of the good old days of Dowdy Ficklin. Rowdy Dowdy.
It looked great on TV last week. I was very impressed with the turnout against Campbell. I thought it was going to be one of those games where we would sell a good amount of tickets, but we wouldn't really show up for it in full force. But, man, it looked great on TV and pretty awesome turnout.
Well, historically, family weekend draws really well in Greenville for whatever reason. So, and last weekend was family weekend, so that helped. And I think a lot of people – had to miss that ODU game because of weather, and I made up for it last weekend. And hopefully we'll have over 40K again for Navy.
Matt, are you having a big party at your house on and having ESPN plus on the big screen?
So you guys will probably get a kick out of this, but when the Pirates play, I like total solitude. I don't want people around me. I can't really? Do parties. Yeah, I like to really get into the game. I'm not fun to watch a game with, to be honest, because I get very annoyed at things. I curse a lot. It's not pleasant. So
we're in your group. We're in your group text with you.
Yeah, I'm the same way, Matt. If I'm not at the game, Jessica can be in the room with me. She knows to leave me alone. But besides that, I'm not interested in being in a big crowd for a game. If I'm not at the game,
I agree with you guys on that. Like, what makes me angry is when you go to a ball game and like you're at Dowdy Ficklin, and I have four seats, and so I have four seats, and I'm like going, and all of a sudden you're gonna put like these Pirate fans have sold their tickets online. And we have the most obnoxious fan from fill in the blank what university. And guess where they're sitting near? Me. And I'm like, when I'm paying my hard earned money, I don't want to hear you. And I know that they have every right to cheer for whoever they want to. I'm not saying that, but it's just my luck that it has to be in my section near me in a Pirate Club section to have that, you know, going where they're so obnoxious with. You name it. It's just that's very frustrating to me. Now, if I'm say it's a national championship game and I've been to viewing parties, the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter to me. I can be in big crowds, but I agree with you 1000%, guys, on that. I don't like to be in a safe here in a bar and half the people or a good portion of the people pulling for one team against your team. No, I hate it.
Yeah, I won't get into details here, but Coach Houston's first year when we almost beat Cincinnati, I almost got in a fight with a Cincinnati fan that was just a disrespectful little twat. And it about went to blows. Now, you know, what I'm dealing with now in my life, or else some things aren't as important as they seem at the time. So it probably wouldn't happen today. But and then again, it might. I'm pretty on edge here these days. So I'm pretty on edge here these days. So,
Montgomery beat Cincinnati.
Well, that's not quite the same thing. But that guy was, you know, it's one thing to cheer for your team. That's great. But to be disrespectful when you're in somebody else's house around a bunch of other people, you know, just like you don't come in my house. It's like coming to my house and being disrespectful to me. It's the same thing. You're in our stadium and you're not cheering for your team. You're sitting in our section being blatantly disrespectful. I couldn't handle that for so long before I said something to the guy. He said something back and it turned into name calling. Security came and you know it ended up you know being much to do about nothing. And sometimes opposing fans, you know, when they want to do more than cheer for their own team when they want to be disrespectful, I guess it'd be a bit much. But hey, speaking of crowds and all that, and I know we have some interview with Pete Medhurst we're gonna get to here soon. But I plan on being there this Saturday, guys. This will be my first game of the year. I had to miss the first three.
Are you gonna come tailgate with me?
I don't know, Dave. It's gonna just depend. I need to get with you about our media parking pass. This will be my first game of the year because didn't come to the first three because, you know, dealing with the colon cancer and I'm still dealing with that. Chemo's coming up. But I'm going to have limited opportunity, and this is one of those opportunities to go to a game before treatment. So looking forward to being out there Saturday and seeing the Pirates beat the Midshipmen. So one for the Kyler.
There you go. Hey, guys, I have a question, and Matt, you can help me out on this. Uncle Roger, when he was coaching the Giants, he told me there was
two Roger places. Craig is who he's what? Referring to. Anybody yeah. who's
sorry, sure. Roger Craig from Major League Baseball. I'm not a name dropper other than he told me there was two places he told me never to come to a ball game. And that was obviously Philly with the Philadelphia Phillies. And the other one, Matt, I want to get your opinion, Matt. Help me out on this. I know you're a Yankees fan, but what about the old Shea Stadium? He told me never come to a Mets game.
Mets fans are very passionate.
Mets fans are really passionate. I've been to a lot of games at Shea, like the old Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
It was definitely a great atmosphere, like especially around that time in 86 when they had guys like Strawberry and Doc Gooden, Lenny Dykstra. I mean, that was a pretty awesome time. Like those guys were cranking out wins and doing cocaine by you know, God knows, 24 hours a day.
Cocaine and hookers, baby. That was the 86 Mets.
You remember Gary Carter?
What's that?
Gary Carter, the kid? Yeah.
Gary Carter, the catcher?
Catcher, the kid. Gary Carter, yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Carter, Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez. Well, I'll tell you, that was a crazy environment. You know, Philly, I had an experience where our friend, you know, a great Pirate, Dwayne Ledford, when he was playing for the 49ers, he got me tickets. Me and my wife went down into Philly to watch the game. And out of pure support, I don't know what I was thinking. I put on a Niners shirt. And, you know, because I had to support my teammate there. And let's just say it was a big mistake. Let's leave it at that. It didn't go well.
Kyle, where have you experienced really bad fans? Is it a college football game? Any kind of major leagues? What about you, my friend?
You know, honestly, I haven't been to a lot of road games. Worst experiences, you know, is I've had Dowdy Ficklin with opposing fans. I had a bad experience as a Cincinnati fan. And then once I had a bad experience with a Marshall fan, which is a comical story I'll tell you guys off the air. Which I probably told you in the past, but pretty funny story. But I don't know. I'll have to think. Actually, a wrestling match one time. Back when ECW was around, the real ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling, was an ECW show. One of the few times they came down south. That's a Philadelphia. They were a Philadelphia-based wrestling promotion, Matt. And so I went to one of their shows in Raleigh. They were doing a The Ritz, Dave. You know the Ritz in Raleigh?
Oh, yeah.
They had wrestling. They had ECW wrestling there, and it was sold out. And
wow. I never knew that.
Yeah, it was sold out. And I had third row. And these idiots in the first two rows decided they were going to stand on their seats. And I have no idea why. And so we had to stand on our seats in the third row so we could see over these idiots in the first two rows. And security should have made them get down, but it's neither here nor there. So this asshole right in front of me starts to hang on to the rafters. I guess he didn't have good balance or something. I don't know. He starts hanging on to the rafters in front of me. And I was like, hey, man, can you put your arms down? I can't see. And he's like, he looks at me and says, nah. And I said, dude, I can't see. You got your arms up. You know, there's no actually. He just blew me up again. I said, all right, dude. As you put your arms down, I'm going to kick the fucking chair out from underneath you. And he put his arms down. And forgive the language. But so I, you know, that's probably the worst fan experience I've ever had. I put that on security more than anybody.
Hey, Matt, we need to have one of my favorite movies of all time is Roadhouse. Let's have Kyle in Roadhouse 2. Let's make a sequel to Roadhouse.
There already is a Roadhouse 2. It came out years ago. It's horrible. And remaking the original Roadhouse.
They are?
Yeah, they are. And I forgot who's playing Dalton, but I have no interest in seeing it. But yeah, there was
a sequel. It's the UCF fighter. UFC.
Fighter.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of UCF Knights. it's the guy who fought Mayweather. The guy who fought Floyd Mayweather. I can't think of his name.
Are you serious?
I'm drawing a blank on the name. I can't believe it. Who?
Conor McGregor.
That's
who's playing Dalton. Okay, well that might not be so bad then.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, that might not be so bad. But there is a straight to video sequel that came out in the mid-90s where late 90s. Because it's the son of Dalton and he's avenging his death. And so it would have had to have been late 90s, early 2000s, or otherwise it wouldn't have made sense. But yeah, Roadhouse 2 was a straight to DVD movie, I think around 2000.
And that's why I didn't know anything about it. I love it.
Yeah, but if you're right, Matt, that the Conor McGregor is gonna be playing the role of Dalton, Patrick Swayze's character from the original Roadhouse, That could be interesting. I'm a huge fan of the original movie. Who's going to play the Wade Garrett character? Yeah. You know, I can see, to me, I could almost see Conor McGregor doing better in that role as playing the Wade Garrett character.
Well, you could give, that's a great, I mean, that's the best character in the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I love Wade Garrett was great. The double douche.
The double douche.
But you know what the thing is, you know, he's still, Sam Elliott's still going. I mean,
yeah. You could. I mean, he's a little old now to be.
He was dead, though, wasn't he?
But maybe you bring him in for a cameo.
Sam Elliott's not dead.
Maybe he, you know, he's not dead.
Oh yeah, you're right. They did kill him, but it's a remake. It's a remake, Dave. So it doesn't matter.
That's what you mean. Yeah. Not a sequel. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, they did kill him in the in the original movie. You're right, Matt. They could bring him in for some sort of cameo. I don't think you could have him play the Wade Garrett character. But anyway, how did we get off on this tangent?
Sorry, I said it. I said you should be in Roadhouse too because I know how much you and I. That was one of the ways we were talking about movies. That was one of the first movies we were talking about movies that we really liked, and I'm a huge. You fan of that movie, but anyway,
well, you know what? I am Legally Blonde. I can play Jeff Healey's character.
I was going to ask about not about you with that, but I was going to ask about who's going to, as far as that soundtrack. And I love Jeff.
Oh, Healey. They're not going to match that. They're not going to match that soundtrack. Yeah, that's good luck.
Yeah, but anyway, guys, I know Bubba. Are you ready for the for part of that Pete Medhurst interview or clips of that?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and go to that interview with Pete Medhurst, the play-by-play voice of the Navy midshipman. To begin with, we just simply talked about Navy's 0-2 start of the season and his thoughts there, as well as, you know, some of the things that Coach Ken Niumatalolo and staff were seeking to get accomplished during the open week. And let's go to that right now.
Right now on the Pirate Preview, very excited to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Navy midshipman, Pete Medhurst. Pete, welcome back to the show.
Bob, always good to be with you, pal.
Absolutely. You know, it seems like every time these two programs get together and Navy's coming off an open date. So, you know, if you would, very quickly, tell us about the first two games of the season. And I know we'll dive deeper into that, but then also what Coach Ken and his staff were able to, get accomplished during the open date.
You know, I think sometimes early bye weeks are frowned upon. You like to have them somewhere midway in the fray. I mean, we're going to play 9 straight games after this. But, you know, I think we needed it. I think we needed it to get back to basics, as Coach talked about, this week and reinstill some confidence offensively because they're playing with all the guys that they thought they were going to play with. It's not as if, you know, we've suffered a rash of injuries. They're playing with good football, but as you fall along and you cannot turn the football over. We get a guy busts a 50-yard run and fumbles at the end of the run and gives it back to Delaware in that game when we're going in plus territory. You know, the first play of the game, we fumbled deep in our own territory. And our margin for error against anybody, whether it's Delaware or Alabama, is the same. And unfortunately, you know, we just haven't played to the standard that our guys have built, you know, with 105 wins under Ken Niumatalolo. But if there's any coach and staff that I trust to get it fixed and get it right, it's this coaching staff because they've won so many games. They know what it takes to be successful. But let's face it, the league that we play in and the teams that we play, as you well know, these are good clubs. And if you make any mistakes at all, they're all good enough to make you pay for them. And certainly that was the case against Memphis, where we're going in for a go-ahead score in the first half. We commit a turnover. They score at the end of the half. And then in the second half, they hit some big plays against us. And, you know, score got out of hand a little bit more than was representative of what the game was. But, you know, again, you got to play 60 minutes. I mean, everybody watched App State this week. That cliche holds true, man. You got to play 60 minutes or you're going to lose football games. It's that simple.
Navy returns a veteran quarterback in Lavatai, and you know he was someone who was quarterback a season ago, and it's the first time in quite some time, I guess since Malcolm Perry, that the Middies do return a quarterback, and they've had some issues there under center. But now they seek that stellar play that they got from the likes of Keenan Reynolds and Malcolm Perry from Ty Lavatai. And I asked Pete about Ty as well as the development of the ECU program under head coach Mike Houston.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's one of those things, Bubba, where it's not a one-man issue. It's a unit issue. It's a unit-wide issue. So if it was one person that was bogging things down, coach could make a personnel move and maybe change the fortunes. But it's been the entire group. They've all talked about it. Kip Franklin, the captain, has talked about it. They simply have to play better. They know that. They don't need the coaches to, you know, hammer them for, you know, 14 days telling them you got to be better. They know they've got to be better. And we've got a young football team for the most part. That's the thing. A lot of them, in terms of game experience, are still trying to feel out what that standard is. But I think eventually we're going to get it together. The problem is, you look at our next couple opponents, both on the road, starting with East Carolina this week. Had a great conversation with Coach Houston this morning. You know that they sense there's an opportunity in the American Athletic Conference. This league is wide open this year, and every game is important, and we know they're going to be ready for us, where I think that times in the past, this program wasn't ready for us. And I think they're much more prepared for Navy than maybe at any time in recent memory when these two teams have gotten together. The win in Annapolis last year certainly had to give them some confidence, even though Navy moved the ball a little bit. But I thought that was a huge game for the ECU program, and talked about that with Coach Houston this morning. You know, they get stopped. There's a fourth down in that game in the second half. Their entire bench, Bubba, gets up. I mean, everybody on the sideline got up off the bench, went over, and stood together. And Navy stopped them. And you're thinking, okay, that's the stop that you need. And that's usually where East Carolina goes, man, darn it, we're this close. And again, we didn't make the big play. But Holt Naylor just wouldn't let them lose. He wouldn't let them lose. And that's the difference. When you have a leader with 45 games under his belt right now, you have to be perfect against them, or they're going to find a way. And that East Carolina group, I thought, took a huge step forward in terms of a winning culture, winning that game the way they did in Annapolis last year. And you're starting to see the fruits of that labor. I mean, let's face it, they should have beaten NC State. Owen Daffer is going to go make a bunch of kicks this year. And it's going to be it was puzzling to all of us watching, because you know the young man can kick the football. He's going to win games for East Carolina as this year goes along. So this is an East Carolina team right now that can play with anybody.
Pete went on to talk about, you know, the development of the East Carolina program under Mike Houston, how that physical style of play and the improved depth that Coach Houston and staff have assembled over the last few seasons in Greenville will certainly make this Pirate team much more equipped to take on the Navy flexbone attack than those teams of years past.
The thing about it is now, you know, at times in the past, East Carolina was not equipped to play 60 minutes against a team like Navy. Now East Carolina is equipped. And I've told y'all through the years, you knew Mike was going to get players in there. And all you had to do was go back and look at his games at James Madison. Look at the players he was getting there. Those James Madison teams could have played with a lot of teams in the American. That's why James Madison has hit the ground running in the Sun Belt and been a problem already for those teams. So, you know, you knew Mike was going to be able to find good football players. And that's a great environment there. I mean, East Carolina is a couple hundred people away from being tops in attendance already in the early part of the season. So the fans recognize it. They know that the product there is back on track, what they're used to. And as we know, it's as supportive a fan base as there exists in college athletics. So it makes for a great atmosphere. And, you know, the mids are certainly going to be challenged by that. Coming up on Saturday. The one thing I will say, though, is anybody that looks at this Navy team right now and says, well, daggone, they're down, and underestimates them, they're going to be in for a rude awakening. And I know Mike is going to make sure that his kids are ultimately focused in this game, and I expect it to be a great game coming up on Saturday.
Those are some of the thoughts of Pete Medhurst, and we'll have a few more headed your way here in just a moment as Pete and I talked about the Navy defense as well as the midshipmen special teams.
You know, with Pete was one of the first that I remember that bragged about Mike Houston. He said it's definitely going to get done. Rennie Angolia was another member of the national media who was big on Mike Houston. Of course, David Glenn is the reason why our good friend DG on the David Glenn Show, the North Carolina-based show back in the day when he had Coach Houston on several years ago when he was at Lenoir Ryan for the Division II championship. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. Listening to Coach Houston on that show, I became a fan. And I hate DG probably could tell me, and I'd have to look at the when they – I guess I could look at that and find out when that happened with that championship. Oh, it was it 2015, 13, 15, somewhere around there. I was working in radio in Raleigh at the time and listening to Coach Houston. I was in the studio, as a matter of fact, when that interview was going on, where David Glenn was I was in the producer, Studio A, if you will, with producer Hayes Permar at the time. But anyway, Coach Houston's been such a great asset for that. And Pete was one of the first that I remember very well. DG, Pete, and obviously Rennie, three friends of the program, but all three of them are different walks of life. But all three of them said, hey, Mike Houston could get it done. And boy, has he ever. And to have a win over Navy is huge. But boy, if we could have a second win over Navy, especially in Greenville. I wanted to say, Bubba, Bubba would always say, to get your tickets, go to 1-800-DIAL-ECU, ecupirates.com. We need to fill that stadium. We need to have it rocking. I'm telling you guys, we need to have it where that place is loud, emotional, the pirate pride, the tailgating, get out there at 1 o'clock. Let's be really loud and amped up, ready to go. I'm just really excited about this game. And I think that as you're nervous about the game, knowing what Navy can do, you also have a sense of pride and confidence. This team has a lot of grit. Their swagger, like I was saying, you start to feel now that it's not quite there, but a killer instinct that we've been needing for a long, long time. And I hope that remains the case for Navy, against Navy, this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. Weather's going to be absolutely gorgeous. The high on Saturday is supposed to be around 77. The lows down into the, I think, the high 40s. So somewhere around 48, I think. But anyway, it's going to be fantastic football weather. By the way, you may want to take a hoodie with you, not to be the meteorologist, as a fly is on my forehead there. But anyway, Bubba, I know that's going to be a great, great atmosphere. We're averaging, again, as I was saying earlier, over 43,000 people. And it's going to be electric. And the Military Appreciation Day and a night game. I mean, what more can you ask for? We've had three out of the four games at home have been 6 o'clock games. They've been night games. I just love night games. I always have since I was a teenager. And actually, the early days of college when I was there. And the night games were just so cool. Don't you think, Bubba?
Oh, yeah. A lot of excitement amongst Pirate Nation for the flyover.
No doubt. And you're one that I stole your thunder. Sorry if you don't mind. But while we were having a little bit of break in the action to get people there, and it's going to be electric, that atmosphere. I just have a good feeling about our crowd. Don't you, Bubba?
Sure. I mean, after the crowd we saw for Campbell,
yeah,
pleasantly surprised. I mean, I thought we'd have a solid crowd, but, you know, the 43,000 plus, it was, I would say, the butts in the seats were very close to the announced number. The lower bowl was very full. And then in the upper deck had an excellent crowd as well. So, I mean, you really look at it. I mean, that was outside of the NC State game. That was our top crowd, I guess, since 2016.
So, yeah.
It's 3,000 more for Campbell than we had for South Carolina, which is impressive.
Yeah, it's because we're winning. I mean, everybody wants a winner, and here we are winning. And you look at with the Pirates, with them, with all that's happened with our fan base. I'm just happy the number of tailgaters I'm seeing now for Campbell. I had heard some people, and I won't mention any names, I'm not going to call them out, but they had said, well, Dave, it's Campbell. And I'm like, I don't care who it is. We need to go there and support our team and the program. Look at Mike Houston, all that he's done. And that's exactly how we needed it to be. And I'm grateful that I was wrong. I was thinking about maybe 37,000, something like that, maybe 38. I wasn't expecting to be a bad crowd, but to have 43,000 people there is a great, great number. Like Bubba said, sometimes we know they pad the numbers, but this time it was really close to that. If you know how that works, the bottom, the lower bowls are 35,000. You've got, you can count, what is it, Bubba? How many can you put in the Boneyard? I forgot.
You know, you think about it. I mean, it's essentially
7,000.
Essentially 7,000, because the stadium was 43,000, right. Then you added the Boneyard to get to 50. Seven. But Robert Dedrick chimes in on YouTube saying, reclaim the American attendance record, making an impression on the P5 leagues while UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston are exiting. And right now, UCF and East Carolina are neck and neck right there. Averaging right around 44,000. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I mean, we're within a couple hundred or so of one another. Obviously for the Pirates, four home games remaining, beginning with Navy, and then you also have Memphis, UCF, and then also Houston. So some tremendous home games left in league play.
No doubt. There's no reason why. And I'll tell you one thing, Bubba, how cool would it be that in November we're fighting for a conference championship? That's going to be fantastic. I can totally see that happening. I would have never told you that 3, 4, 6 years ago, but I can say that now. And I look forward to that day that we're fighting again we're at least in the hunt now, but really, really fighting for a conference championship. And Bubba, I know that you did an outstanding job with Pete Medhurst today, and you have some more clips. I'll pitch it to you.
Yeah, and Coach Ken Niumatalolo met with the media on Monday, and, you know, one of the things that Coach Ken said was just when asked about the most consistent aspect of his football team to date, he really thought it was the defensive line, you know, specifically the linebacker play. And let's hear what Pete Medhurst had to say regarding the Navy defense, and let's go to those thoughts right now.
But those teams, as much as entertaining as they were at times, they weren't equipped, I think, with enough of the toughness factor. You look at this East Carolina team, Bubba, they've got that toughness factor, and you need that in the American. I mean, look at Tulane going to Kansas State and winning this past week. You're going to need a toughness gene to win a lot of these close games in this league this year. And that's the one element I think that was missing for a little while from a depth standpoint. They had some dudes, but they didn't have enough dudes. Now they got dudes. And that's why this group, I think, is going to be right there until the end of November with a chance to win this American Athletic Conference championship. But like all other teams, because the American is so tough and it's so good, if you have an off quarter, I mean, you have a couple of series where you don't play your best on either offense or defense. That can be the difference between winning and losing in the American this year. And that's what I think is so exciting about the league, is that everybody, every Saturday, for the most part, has a chance to win a football game. And I think in cases like the environment at East Carolina, I think that's going to play a huge factor in some of these games through the course of the year, because the atmosphere is intimidating to play in, especially when ECU is a winning club like they are now. That environment was very supportive when they weren't winning. That place is going to be off the chain now that they are a winning team again, and people know they have a chance to be a factor in the American Athletic Conference. But I know our kids won't be intimidated. Our kids are going to line it up on Saturday. And, you know, our defense has really played really well the first two games. Our front seven's been terrific. it's a matter for Navy right now playing complementary football. They need both, you know, offense and defense, and then you add special teams in there. They need all three of those units to be great. And if you're not in any way, shape, or form in the American grade in either one of those areas, it's probably the difference between winning and losing this season.
And in that clip, you know, he referenced the front seven, and he'll elaborate more on that in a moment. He was more talking about the challenging nature of the American Athletic Conference and just how, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. But now let's go to the clip where he dives deeper into the Navy defense and specifically the front.
Brian's one of the great defensive minds in college football. I think Brian is a guy that, if given the opportunity, could probably go be a DC in the National Football League at some point. I love his creativity. I love the stuff that he comes up with. Keep in mind, he's not dealing with the biggest kids at times, you know, at our place. But yet, they, as a staff, do an amazing job of putting those kids in a great position to be effective. I mean, our kids play hard as heck. They all run to the football, and, you know, despite some of them not having the prototypical size, speed, strength numbers, you know, that you might look for at a P5 program, you know, Brian's done, and his staff, I mean, it's a staff-wide thing. It's not just Brian, too. I mean, that group as a whole works incredibly hard, and they've done an amazing job of putting those kids in positions to be successful. I mean, you look at our outside guys, John Marshall and Nicholas Straw. You know, John Marshall probably looks like he should be playing free safety somewhere, and yet that guy's an electric pass rusher for us. And that's the nature of creativity that Brian has been able to come up with. They took our two nose guards who played so well last year at nose, and they said, well, look, let's get Clay on the field too. So they moved Clay Cromwell over to defensive tackle to get him and Donald Bernyard on the field together. I think our front seven, talent-wise, is really good. And I think they've got a chance to keep us in a lot of football games. But as we know this week in particular, Brian and all DCs talk about it, you got to stop the run first. And this outfit that East Carolina comes to the line of scrimmage with and the talent of those skilled people is yeoman work. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a great test. It's a huge offensive line. It's a good offensive line. You know, some guys have offensive lines that are just big. They're just loads. But these guys are big and they're good. You know, they're fundamentally sound. They play good football. So that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous test for our group coming up on Saturday to get the mids a stalemate in the running game and try to take away that part of the offense there for East Carolina, because we know if they can get that running game going, that makes life so simple on an offense. When you can run the football effectively and Holt Naylor's is not having to play hero ball out there for you because you've run the ball successfully. It just makes life so, so simple. And that's the beauty of that running game that East Carolina has been able to put together.
A couple things that really stood out about the middies defensively, and that is, you know, 52 yards per game on the ground, you know, and going against the East Carolina rushing attack that features Keaton Mitchell and Rajay Harris. And like you said, a very solid offensive line. And then also Navy's produced 9 sacks. And so yes, they have allowed a little over 300 yards through the air, but they've really gotten after the quarterback. And so if you would talk about, you referenced one or two of those guys, but tell us about that talented front.
Well, I mean, Jake Busick, who's a local kid from here in Maryland, has been terrific. Bernyard, nicknamed Biscuit, has been terrific. Cromwell's been good. John Marshall, Nicholas Straw at the linebacker spot, striker and raider, as we like to call them. But our middle linebackers, we graduated Diego Fogo, one of the best we've ever had here at Navy. And right now we got 4 kids that literally can be on the field at any time and have no drop-off at the middle linebacker spots. And in fact, you know, we've used Tyler Fletcher to go over and kind of spell John Marshall a little bit, our top, you know, pass rusher. So that's how talented that group is right now. But, you know, I mean, ultimately right now with so many young players we have, I mean, it's a huge learning process for our guys right now. Every game, every series is a huge learning process. But the beauty of the game of football is each week you have a chance to get better. And these guys have done that. So while we have a lot of youth, while we have a lot of inexperience out there, there's talent out there. And that's the good thing. And I'll be interested to see what kind of plan Brian comes up with on Saturday, because his teams are always ready to play defensively. That staff is incredibly hard, as this entire coaching staff does. So I'll be able to see what happens and see if they can meet that challenge of those two great backs that East Carolina had.
And then finally, Pete and I, we discussed the special teams of the Navy midshipmen, and let's get his thoughts on those midshipmen special teams right now.
Well, clearly not having our kicker, Bijan Nichols, is – I mean, that's a significant injury. You know, they're hoping right now that he'll be back this week. Anytime you're dealing with a kicker with an injury, you know, to a lower extremity, that's a concern. And you just got to let them have their time and play it out. He's got a tremendously strong leg. But if that leg is not 100%, then in a way it really doesn't help you. And you can't hurt – you don't want him to get hurt again, because then he's battling that all year, and that becomes a problem. So Evan Warren has done a fairly solid job in the field goal PAT area. Riley Reithman is one of the best punters in America. That's the – I mean, our punter is one of the best in America. Put him on the Ray Guy list. Let's go. Also a tremendous golfer, by the way. If you want to win some golf tournaments, get Riley Reithman in your foursome out there. But you know, our return game is relatively strong. The problem, like everybody else, though, everybody's got kickers that boom the ball through the end zone. So whether you have a good return man or not, it doesn't really matter, because most of your kickers now are banging the ball through the end zone more often than not. So to me, the question for us will be, if Bijan can't go, you know, how does Evan do, obviously, in his place, as he's done in the first two games? And you're hoping that you get some consistency there, because when you have a chance to score, you must come away with those drives with points. And sometimes if you feel like you've got to press the issue a little bit and maybe go for it on a fourth down, because, you know, you're thinking in the back of your mind, I don't have my guy that can bang the ball from 50 consistently. So you may go for it on a fourth down in a situation when you get in plus territory that you might not normally do. So those are things that affect the play calling and everything on the weekend. We'll see if the mids are able to do something pretty well in the kicking game coming up on Saturday.
All right. Thank you very much, Pete. And great job, Bubba, as always. I know Pete had another engagement, so he couldn't be with us live. So thanks, for Bubba, for making that happen. Welcome back, Kyle.
It feels like we started the show yesterday.
We did. It was actually on Monday afternoon, and we're still going. We're going for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay.
For the longest podcast. So,
all right.
No, we're about to wrap it up. We had the interview there with Pete, and he was nice enough to come on, even though he had an engagement, to do the Pirate Preview and Navy. Do you have any final thoughts, Mr. Kyle?
Yeah, Mr. Dave, I thought we'd go around the horn, give score predictions if we want to.
What do you think?
Get out of here. I'm going to go Pirates 34, Navy 24.
All right. My prediction is 31-21. Bubba, what about you?
I think earlier I mentioned something about 34-20. Okay. I could see something like that. You know, last year while we put up 38, I think this year we're just as good, if not, I mean, in my opinion, I think we're better offensively. I think that will prove to be true over the course of the season. And but this Navy defense, and they aren't bad. So I think I'll say something along those lines of 34-20, 38-20. So I think it will be close as to whether the Pirates may potentially cover.
All right. We'll see how that goes. All I care about, like you guys said, and most important thing is to win, baby. Just win.
Yeah. I'll settle for 10-0, 17-3, something like that.
I'll take 1 point in triple overtime.
Exactly.
Whatever it takes, guys. Whatever it takes. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Looking forward to it. By the way, Bubba, we've got a lot of programming to be proud of and a lot of new stuff coming up, too, that we'll unveil very soon.
Yeah, definitely go on our YouTube channel and check out Absolute Empowerment. It aired last night. Coach Connors caught up with Pernell Griffin, Leonard Henry, as well as Brian Moss, three former East Carolina football players who are currently pastors. And so next week, episode 4, he will visit with Mike Cassidy, and he is was a college football coach of 35-plus years. I think it was 37 to be exact, and he was the defensive coordinator on the 1991 team. And we actually recorded that today, and that was an excellent conversation as I enjoyed listening while producing. But tonight, you obviously watched the Pirate Preview. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and we'll have the Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young and also Sonny and Semenza being hosted by B-Pays. Thursday, we'll have the Inside Slant. I know we'll talk to Bob Kessling. He is the play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Volunteers as they have the Florida Gators coming off a narrow win over the USF Bulls and coming to Neyland Stadium this weekend in a big SEC matchup. So we'll talk to him as well as others on the Inside Slant as we take a look at week 4 of college football on A Pirate's Life. For me, I will catch up with Alan Powell, better known in East Carolina circles as Pirate Al. On Saturday, I'll have the sights and sounds from Doughty Ficklin, you know, from in and around the stadium. And then on Sunday, we'll take a look back at the game between the Pirates and Midshipmen with the Pirate Football Playback presented by L&K Custom Homes. And that will be coming your way on Sunday evening around 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
And we're also working on a show right now called Kyle Unleashed. What do you think, Kyle?
Yours. Maybe hold off on that as we advertise L&K Custom Homes. I don't know if I'm going to be full energy here soon when I, go into chemo. Maybe Kyle Dragon Ass might be more appropriate.
Kyle Unplugged. Since you and I love music so much. L&K Custom Homes, want to thank Kevin Walker. He's a licensed general contractor. And give Kev a call, 336-688-8461. KK, one of the best ever, man, to put on that Pirate uniform. And he is really good as a contractor. I tell you what, those houses he's done. If I, like I've said many times, I win the lottery, I'm going to add some stuff around here and definitely do some major improvements, necessary improvements I have to my house. And I'm definitely going to call Kev for that. KK.
No doubt. Cool. And, you know, Kevin can meet your needs without someone winning the lottery as well. He can, whatever size you and your family need, he can make it happen.
If you want to expand your single wide, he can do it.
Add a second story to your single
wide. I've seen people build houses build rooms on the manufactured homes. That's done, actually. But, you know, so.
By the way, before I forget, guys, again, if you're just joining us, don't forget we have Coach Higgins. He's the ECU women's soccer coach, a fantastic guy, and I enjoyed talking to him. Gary Higgins, he invited us over to his office. We actually met in the meeting room there in the Teams building, the Williams Harvey Teams building, and it was fantastic. And we'll have that up on our YouTube channel, and you'll get a chance to see that very, very soon. And obviously, we've got a lot of content. Thanks to Bubba. He's put a lot of stuff up there on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are rolling along there. We have a lot of people have joined Pirates Cove presented by the Sports Objective on Facebook. That was Kyle Barber's idea, Kyle. And we have that. We started a couple years ago, over 1,000 people now a part of that group. So I'll give you a chance to go in there and check it out. Porky's Backyard Barbecue open 11 to 8 at daily. And you can go by there in Williamston. It was a Captain D's way back in the day. Dine-in, drive-through, barbecue, chicken, ribs, seafood. And we're working on them to sponsor our tailgate again on Saturday.
And that's at 805 East Boulevard in Williamston. And their phone number is 662-661-8337 if you need to contact them about catering. Do they cater, Dave?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they cater. If you need catering, they can do that. Just give Mark and Terry, the Holiday Brothers, give them a call. I tell
maybe
you what,
the Holiday Brothers can cater your house. There's some marketing. That is just pure marketing genius. Let the Holiday Brothers cater your holiday party.
There you go. There you go. And Pete Medhurst. Man, maybe we get Pete to come by and check out our barbecue. I'll talk to Mark about that tomorrow for sure, Bubba. But we're working on that. You know how the staffing situation is right now? Sometimes Mark has to go in and people don't show up to work. That's the way our country is right now. So not to get off on a soapbox, but things like that in the restaurant industry happens a lot, as I'm very tired right now. But we have a lot of great content. We hope that you'll check it out. Kyle, brother, man, we're so happy to have you back again tonight. It's not the same without you on our show.
And, yeah, I'll try to be here every week. You know, who knows once this, you know, the next step starts with me. And I keep talking about it. I'm sure people get sick of hearing about it. But once the chemo starts, who knows how much energy I'm going to have to participate. But I'm going to try to be here each and every week. And, you know, as I get through this portion of my life and get it behind me and move on.
Sounds good. We're looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. And hopefully we can have you tailgate with us on Saturday if you fill up to it. Love to have you and Jessica and a lot of people come by. Richard Allsbrook, they put that on Sunday. Guys, do you have anything before we go? If not, we'll get out of here and hopefully people buy tickets and show up on Saturday for sure. Lots of great programming, as we mentioned, throughout the week. So check that out by subscribing to our YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. All right, for Pete Medhurst, for Matt Semenza, Kyle Barber, and Bubba Rosenbaum, thank you, Bubba, for producing the show and everything you do behind the scenes. This is Dave Richmond. You've been watching the Pirate Preview and listening to it right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates!
Everyone, I copy that. Everybody in the stands go bananas, scream loud, baby, don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown.